Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Birger Nygaard. Birger, good afternoon. Birger, you there? Birger? Oh, there's my line. There's my... Oh, he's there. I hear him coming. He's in Stockholm, so it might be an issue. Birger, are you there?
Yes, yeah. I am.
Oh, thank God.
Thank you for having me.
How are you? How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's good. Okay. Why did you contact Liveline?
Yes, I started to think about when I was in Dublin, mm-hmm. 1979 in October. I was sent there by my employer, the telephone company Ericsson.
Right.
And for a 1 month assignment, and the subject was to teach myself, so to speak, with help in technical English.
Okay.
I was a part of a 7 month training program together with 9 other people, and the first month we were sent to Dublin, and we went to a school, a real school, I don't remember the name of it, and we were trained in technical English and also in English, so to speak, because you can't avoid it. And they tested us when we came, and my English was terrible, really.
Okay.
I wasn't that good in school, and it was like an example of that was when we sat on the plane from Stockholm to Dublin. We had to fill in a small card that was going to be issued together with the passport when we arrived at the custom, and then the name, and then it was sex, and I wonder why are they asking about my sex life and so early on the card.
And what answer did you give? Yes, please.
As often as I can. No,
the story is you have been trying to contact this woman that you met October 1979, and you've searched high and low, and including a genealogist.
Yes, I have really tried,
and you got nowhere. And the genealogist said, "Ring Liveline." Okay, so you rang.
Yes, okay.
Well, so you cannot give the name of the woman. You know that, Birger.
No,
because we don't know.
We agreed that I could say that her first name started with T.
T. Okay. And what age were you, Birger, when you met her?
I was 25 years old then, and I had just closed my exam in economics at Stockholm University, and I was employed at Ericsson.
Okay. And how old was this lady?
This lady was, I understood she was a couple of years older than me, maybe between 27 and 29.
Okay, and what age are you now, Birger?
I'm 65 now.
Okay, so you think this lady might be 67.
Probably 68 or something.
And did you fall in love with her?
Yes, she stole my heart very quickly. We were living at the South County Hotel.
Oh, yeah, it's now the Sulorgan Park Hotel. Okay.
Yes, and beside the hotel and possibly a part of the hotel was a big dance hall, what you call it. And a lot of people came there, partly the people from the hotel, but from everywhere, I would say. So it was a lot of, and the dance floor, when it was full, it was at least 200 persons dancing there. And I was crossing the dance floor because that was a shortcut instead of go around it.
Yes.
And this girl was crossing from the other side. So we met in the middle, and instantly I realized that I have to ask her, shall we dance?
Mm-hmm.
And I also remember, I think the music was, the song then was, if I say you have a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
How do you remember the song?
Well, it was quite popular then.
Yeah, of course.
So maybe, and they played ABBA also, and but I remember that that song. And we danced, and we couldn't... are you there?
You remember the song, yeah?
Ah! Oh, my God. You found it.
Ah, yeah, it's easy.
Nostalgic feeling. You don't hear it very often nowadays.
I know, you wouldn't hear it. Well, it's not in Sweden, I suppose. It's loved. It's Bellamy Brothers now. How long did you...
We had the eyes for each other only. And,
eyes for each other, yeah. I only have eyes for you.
Yes, yeah. And we just held together from that moment, and we met every evening, and we were out going with her car outside Dublin also. She had a car, and I think she lived with her parents at that time.
And have you any idea, Berger, what she worked at or what her profession was?
No. I don't know. I have got those questions now when I'm searching for her. And how did she have brothers and sisters? What was her what did her parents work with, and what she did she work with? And I'm almost ashamed that I don't know that. And I don't really know. Did she never tell me? Or have I forgotten?
Okay, so it's 51 years later. Why are you looking for tea?
No, it's 41.
41 years. Sorry. There you go, okay. Mm. Why are you looking for her now?
41. It's a good question, because I'm happily married.
Okay.
So it's not, the reason is not to reopen the romance.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's very, very straightforward. Yeah.
And I have children and grandchildren and all. But when you get elder, you get more interested in your background. It's more like you wish to start genealogical. No, yeah. I don't know the word, but
let me put it to help you if I can, Berger. Are you curious as to what happened to her? And
yes, exactly. Did she marry? Did she get children?
Yeah.
Does she have grandchildren? What occupations did she have? Has she retired now?
Health on,
where did she live during her life? Did she move around, or did she stay in Dublin all the time? Mm-hmm. So I'm got very interested in. That has with my age to do, I think. You look back to your life and wonder, what happened to the people made the impression on you? What happened to them?
Yeah, well, there's apps and based on that whole human emotion. Now, Berger, does your wife know you're on national radio in Ireland looking for friends?
I decided to tell her since she will hear me speak English, which I don't do every day.
Okay.
So I decided, before that, I was looking without telling her and looking at the internet and so on. But I also decided that if I find her, if I get a mail address, if I get a telephone number, I will tell her before I use that information.
Oh, okay, I understand. Okay.
Okay. Now, if I don't find her, and then maybe it's not necessary.
Okay. And how did you drift apart?
Yes, that's interesting, because she wrote me only a week after I went back, and I only thought about her, and I thought she was thinking about me, and I didn't know what to do. I was in love, and I had a fiancé in Sweden. I was really disoriented. Okay. And then she wrote me her first letter and told me what she did the weekend after I left. And then she then she said that she and her friends had rented a boat to go on the River Shannon.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's
That's a very popular pastime. Yeah. So she was on she wrote you a letter from she's saying she was on the cruise on the Shannon. Yeah.
And the last weekend, and there were other boats, and there was also a boat with Americans, and they had gone together during this, and they parted in the evenings, and she said there was a 21-year-old guy that wanted to take her to America and marry her. And,
So I
was a little shocked about that information.
Right.
Was it that she took very easy on that I went away and now she was partying and looking for other guys? Or did she do that to make me jealous so I won't forget her? And I didn't ask her about that because I didn't be weak and jealous.
Okay. And was that the end of your relationship?
Excuse me?
Was that the end of it, Berger? Did you hear?
No. I think we sent some more letters, and but it just faded out. And then I got a letter 1.5 years later, summer 81, where she said that you wonder why I send you a letter this late and so on. But she wanted to ask me if I could be a contact person to a friend who had went to Stockholm and maybe needed some guidance since she was new in Stockholm. And I don't remember what happened with that. If I turned her down or if it came something in between. But I never met that friend. And that was the last letter. I have 3 letters from Teresa. And 2 within a short time after October 79. And then this letter 81. And I don't remember how many letters I wrote.
And did you keep the letters from T?
Yes.
You did you? Okay. Don't tell me. Is there an address on the letters?
Yes.
Okay.
She had one address.
Don't tell me. And Berger, you're saying that you're not planning on coming to Ireland, are you?
Well, if I guess no, I don't have any plans for that now. But I thought about going back, regardless of this. Just to see Ireland, because I thought it was very nice there, very beautiful place. And I was also a little outside Dublin, and we also went by train as a part of this education to Ericsson unit at Athlone or something like that.
Oh yeah, it was a massive plant, massive production facility. And So that was your last contact. Berger, did you meet any of our friends?
I think I did, but she met a lot of my friends, the other 9 people that was living on South County Hotel and was sent out by Ericsson. Okay. She was very, she got very, she worked, I don't know how to explain it. She functioned very well in this team, so to speak, and she learned the name of everyone, and she was very easygoing, nice girl.
Okay. And you, Berger, do you remember the night of the week that you met T? Was it a weekend or midweek or the dance?
I think it could be, we had been there for a week and it was Saturday or something like that after the first week. And then I think I met, it was 3 weeks that we were together, so to speak. And we were very tight.
Okay, Claire is on the line. Joe at rt.ie, 51551, my chance. But Claire, you remember that nightclub in South County Dublin?
I do, well, yes, Flamingos.
Oh, Flamingos.
Yes.
Not Tamangos, Flamingos.
No. Tamangos is somewhere else. This is Flamingos in the South County.
Okay. And you say you danced there on a Wednesday. Why?
Wednesday night was free in for ladies.
Oh, very good.
Yes. So my friends and myself went almost every week.
And how would you get there? Do you remember? Is this around 1979? I suppose the Berger is in his 60s. T, who he's trying to link up with on email again, would be in her 60s. So where did you come from to the dance, Claire? Do you follow me?
Yeah, we came from Dundrum.
Okay, so my point is, Flamingos was fairly well known then, was it?
It
was fairly well known that Wednesday was free. That means, what I'm saying is, would people have come from far and wide, especially women, on the Wednesday night when it was free?
They would have, yeah. It was the place to be on a Wednesday night. And there'd be a lot of guys there as well, because obviously it's free and for ladies.
Okay. What do you think?
Possibly this lady might have been there on a Wednesday night.
And what do you think of Berger's search, Claire? Do you think he has a hope of finding her?
He may have, if the lady in question is listening and Flamingos rings the bell.
Flamingos, okay.
You know, maybe. So I hope she gets in contact.
Yeah, it's an innocent story in these difficult times. Thanks, Claire. Claire, did you meet your chap in Flamingos?
No.
Okay.
We went there to dance. We danced the whole night. And actually recycled a lot of the time. So I could overcycle back.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Thanks, Claire. Thanks. Berger, I'll take a break. But Berger, you mentioned that you went back to Stockholm to your fiancé.
Yes.
And you were, did you say you were complicated or confused?
Yes. Which girl should I choose?
Okay.
And that was confusing.
And were you in love with the two of them?
At that moment, when I came back, I was more in love with Teresa. So that was a problem for me then.
Okay. And did you marry your fiance?
Yes.
That is your wife. Okay.
And we have got a good life and a good marriage.
Yeah, okay.
So it was no problem. It was a very good wife.
Right. Well done. Well done.
And we still live together and have a good life. So it was. I don't know if I could have get another life if I had chosen Teresa, but I'm happy with my life. I'm only curious. What happened to Teresa?
It's the road. It's the poem. The road not taken. You know, I came to a fork. I'm trying to remember. What's a man came to a fork in the road and the two directions and. It's people ask the question all the time, what if, what about the road not taken? And that's why we're human, and that's what makes us different. And you've handled it in a very dignified way, Berger. But that poem goes on to say, I'm sorry, I could not travel both. But anyway, stay there, Berger, and we'll be back after the break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Very, very innocent story. We've been contacted from Stockholm in Sweden by Berger Nygaard. He's now in his 60s. And when he was 25, he was working for the Ericsson company, and he was sent to Ireland to brush up his technical English. And while he was in Ireland, they were staying with a group of his colleagues in the Slogan Park Hotel. And he went to the disco there, which we now know was called Flamingos. And he met a woman who he was completely and totally and absolutely smitten by. Sounds an absolutely gorgeous and attractive woman in every sense of the word. Because, and he even remembered a song that was playing when they met. If you said, I had a bit of a body, would you hold it against me? And Birger just wants to, with the knowledge of his wife, by the way, he just wants to find out what happened to, well, he's called her Teresa, but that's out of the bag, so, but there's a million Teresas in Ireland. He just wants to know what happened to Teresa and is she well, and he wants to talk about his family and how he got on. It's just...
did you go too far?
No, okay. And we said it's out. The name, the first name. It's not. There's no issue. The road, and we're thinking the road not taken, because I asked Birger because he had a fiance back in Sweden who he's happily married to, but he just said when he went back he was a little bit confused and he often wondered, as everyone does in life, I suspect. That's why Robert Frost wrote probably the most one of the most popular poems of all time, "The Road Not Taken." Now. Anne is in Dublin. Okay, back to... You say it wasn't Flamingos, Anne.
Well, no, not in them days, as far as I know.
Okay.
I think it only became Flamingos long after my dancing days.
And what was it called then?
It was called Sardis. It was called Sardis, definitely,
Sardis.
In 1978. I met my husband there, yeah. It was definitely called Sardis.
Oh, you met your husband there
in
1978?
1978, yeah.
Sardis, where love stories begin.
Begin.
That was the other place.
That was the place off Baggot Street.
And why was it so popular, Anne?
I don't know. There wasn't that many places, I suppose, would have gone either there or we would have gone out to the place in Leopardstown. There were two places that weren't, I suppose, in the centre of the city, you know.
Okay. And it was nicely run, and it seems to be
back in the days when, you know, they had to give you curry and chips or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Chicken in the rough. Remember,
chicken. Like
and you met your chap there, Anne.
I did, yeah. My flatmate and I used to go there regularly, there in Leopardstown, yeah. There were two haunts, so there were.
And how long were you married?
I was married until 2002 when unfortunately my husband died quite suddenly.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You see, that's you have great memories about it.
Did you go
on the same night every weekend?
I think we did. I think mostly Thursdays. Yeah, memory serves me right. It's a long time ago, Joe.
I know. That's why I think Birger is looking for a needle in a haystack.
He might.
Yeah, but then,
never know.
Yeah, but then you're telling me that awful fact that your dear husband died 18 years ago. So I presume he's around the same age. So.
Yeah.
Who knows what happened to the person that Birger fell in love with?
Exactly. That's very true. You know, you never do know. But anyway, hopefully he will find her anyway.
Yeah.
It'll be a happy ending.
Yeah.
And he's going to kind of tie off the knots at the end of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I won't go down the road and I take, but that's his plea. I'm sure people have done that, and maybe sometimes it ends up well and sometimes it doesn't end up well.
This is it, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, if he finds that one way, this anyway, he won't die wondering.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Won't die wondering. Okay, Anne, thanks again.
Derek Walsh.
This is a jigsaw. This is a 1,000-piece jigsaw. We've about 3 pieces at this stage.
Well, I was just getting on to correct that lady. Is quite right. It was Sardis in 1978. It was owned by Michael Ryan and Michael Murphy, ex-Sloopies owners.
Sloopies?
Yeah, Michael Ryan, Michael Murphy. They had it at the time and they created Sardis in it. Which, I mean, would have taken them a while to go around the hall. You were talking about in excess of 700 people.
Wow.
You know, I think maybe your own Ronan Collins might have been DJ there at some
probably
stage.
Probably was. Still as good today as he was then, I can tell you.
Exactly, yeah.
Where did the name Sardis come from?
Well, I don't know. That was come up, I think, maybe the promotional manager at the time was a chap called Krishna Naidu. He may have come up with it.
Okay.
When the lad sold it on then, and it was called Flamingos after that.
Flamingos, I remember. Yeah, and they had a flamingo neon sign outside,
The owner of that is still around. At the moment, I won't mention his name, but he did.
And then there was Sloopies, and we're just talking about the pink elephant. Then there was the where the gang goes to Mangoes.
To Mangoes, that was on the gang goes,
Ryan. Need to be reminded of that.
I had a nightclub in Dunleary at the time. That lady didn't mention anyway. It was probably a bit more exclusive. Yeah. Peakers nightclub.
Peakers.
Peakers. P-E-A-K-E-R-S. Yeah.
Peakers Blinders. Yeah. Okay, so Derek. Okay, are you still involved in the business?
I'm out of it now, a good while, Joe, as you said yourself, age catches up on you, but involved in promotional concerts and things like that, but other than that, well out of the business.
Okay. Well, I just have to, Eric, thanks good for that piece of information. We're looking this, we've been contacted by Birger Nygaard in his 60s, from Sweden, in Dublin, 1979, for a month, fell in absolutely head over heels in love with a woman around the same age, 25, 26, 27. They met in, we now know the name, but it was Sardi's nightclub, subsequently became Flamingos, in the South County Hotel, which is now the Talbot Hotel, isn't it? It's Talbot Park Hotel there in Slough, a lovely hotel. So that's, and he's looking to see what happened, T or Teresa, as she was known, there's a thousand Teresa. You can't remember where she was from or what she did about her friends. Okay. Pat is in Rathfarnham in Dublin.
That's right, yeah. How are you?
The road not taken, what happened?
Oh my goodness. I was working in Limerick at the time and these two French fellas walked into the pub and my friend said, oh Jesus, look at them, Pat. Oh, I said, what happened then? So anyway, I got one of them and she got the other fella.
Yeah.
And we went madly in love. Oh my, I still have photographs of him. And then that summer he went back after
his... What was his name?
Francois, and he's best friend of Yenny.
Francois?
So we would... Francois and Yenny.
And Yenny.
And he went back to France and oh, he was madly in love with me. I was as mad as Irish as you could imagine. And I went to Greece for the summer and the next thing he said he's not waiting, he flew over to Greece to Mykonos. And there was me and him on the beach. We had a fabulous time. Now, I'm married since, I'm very happily married to Paddy.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no choice, it's marry Paddy, all the foreigners went away. And then, for my sins, as I say. And then, all of a sudden, there, a few months ago, in the lockdown, just before the lockdown, I said, you know, I went through everything, and this beautiful love letter with his photograph, and I thought, I have to write to him, my Francois. So I wrote the letter, and it came back 3 weeks later, returned to the sender. No, I didn't want that. I just want to know, like him, and I know how he got on. Did he have kids? And I'm married to the nicest looking man in Ireland, and I have beautiful children, and they're all grown up now. But like that, I would have liked him to meet him and go for a meal and a chat and just see how his life pans out and mine pans out. But you see, when I was in Greece, I was asked to put in my eye, and another flipping Irish fella, and I jumped in for the Irish fella, so it was my own fault, really. But, so, you know, in hindsight... when you're young, you do these mad things.
Yeah, I know.
But I did the very same. So I hope he has better luck than me. So, Teresa, get on that phone.
and Francois and Jenny, is that his
name? Yenny.
Yeah. What were they doing? What were they doing in Ireland?
They were just literally touring around Ireland. And we had a big house in Limerick, and my friends threw a big party. And my friend said, did you book in anywhere? And they said, no. I said, well, yeah, you're booked in now. So they came to Limerick for a week, and I think they stayed 6 months. And they called Harry the car. So we saw the place in Cork. If you fall off the edge of the cliff in Cork, you end up in America.
Come back to the phone, Pat.
So can you hear me now?
What happened?
We did the whole tour of Ireland with the two lads,
and
we had a ball.
And how was their how was their English?
Their English wasn't that good, but you know, you're not in any talking. You're just kissing and hugging. The mind that out talking, talk is cheap. So the mind that out talking. So anyway, we had a great time.
Qu'est-ce que c'est, Francois?
Like that. I was amazing that man rang, and I said, "Oh God, it's some beers as mad as myself." Yeah. So
and your other buddy and the other and Yenny.
How
did they get on?
Oh, no. Yenny went off with somebody else. She was fine with that. She met another fella. She wasn't bothered. We all ended up in Greece. Yenny wasn't there, but the other girls were there with me. And they said, oh, Jesus, Francois, he loves you. I said, I know, but I have my eye on this old ball, the Irish fella. And a dumb poor old man. But I'd love to meet him now again, you see.
Okay.
But when you're young, you do the mad things, and especially when you're licking off and you're drinking the Amstel beer. Oh, my God. The men are like the pencils out, you know, they're like little artists and little shoes on them walking around the beaches, the Mykonos, you know. So the
Prince
Van was gone, he was gorgeous in Ireland, but when you go to Greece, oh my God, there's more here. So That's how we planned it out anyway.
So you're saying...
But then I went home.
Yeah, okay.
I went home and found myself in the backyard and I married a Paddy for my sins.
Yeah. But you're saying when you met Francois, now I'm walking it... tightrope here. But when you said when you met Francois in Limerick, it was instantaneous. You said yourself and your pal said, oh my God, which one do you want, so to speak?
Oh yes. Well, my French, we both wanted Francois.
Oh, did
he?
Okay.
He was fabulous looking. He's really French and tall and slim. And I said, I want that other fella. Yeah, and he's small. I want him. And she said, no, you haven't him now. And I said, no, I don't want him. But then what happened then, Francois didn't go out with the other girls. He liked me. So I said, no, I don't really want Jenny. So I said, Jenny, I don't really want to go out with you. I want Francois. So Francois was delighted. So, You know, that's what happened. I dumped Jenny. He went off with somebody else then. So I had my lovely Francois.
Did you ever meet a Swedish fella? They're very handsome.
I met Swedish people, would you believe it, in
very
Spain.
Handsome.
The nicest, tall, blonde, with tans. But couldn't trust that everyone in the world is after them.
Are you serious? They're the most attractive.
Oh, yeah, they're gorgeous.
The Swedish fellas.
Oh, Joe, they're lovely to look at, but they're very smart, they're very clever. You know, they want the models. They want the models and the beautiful girls. So she must have been beautiful, the streets or wherever she was, because I'm no beauty. I could get the French man, but I wouldn't get the Swedish man. They want models, Joe. They want the underarms,
Well, Pat, let's ask Berger. Berger, Pat is asking you... let me put it another way. If you asked any woman at Sardi's, that nightclub, to dance with you, do you think they would have said yes?
I didn't understand really what you...
Are you handsome? Are you handsome?
Well, I was that at that time. Today, I'm not looking the same.
No, of course not. But you were regarded, because Pat thinks Swedish men are the bee's knees, the best, the most beautiful.
Well, I think I was quite handsome, but I wasn't annoyed with my appearance at that time anyway.
Okay, that's a nice.
Can I tell you stories from? The strange things that happened on the South County Hotel. When we came there first evening, I went to the bar and asked Talk and to said, I would like to have an Irish coffee. And the bartender didn't know what that was.
You should have gone to Limerick, you'd have gone home. They know in Limerick what the Irish coffees are.
Yeah, okay, didn't know what an
Irish
coffee
was. I was very surprised, but they had smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord, yeah, smorgasbord,
yeah. But they didn't know about it.
And Pat...
But I suppose it was only that man that was in the bar that... And another story, small story, is that my English wasn't very good. It was bad, actually. And when I came up to my hotel room the first... time, and I observed that there were no towels in the bathroom, and I wonder how can I make a shower next morning before I go to the school first day. So I called the reception, and then I was thinking, what is the name of handduk, as we say in Swedish? I couldn't recall it, but then I remember, it's a handkerchief.
Okay, it wasn't a towel.
So I called the receptionist and said, there are no handkerchiefs in my room. And silent for a moment.
Your English wasn't great. Yeah.
Probably they thought, why can't he use the toilet paper? And they even said that. Maybe you can use the toilet paper. Oh, no. I thought this was a decent...
You just wanted a sheet. Where can I have a sheet? What's wrong with the sheet?
What we can do. And after that, they had two handkerchiefs that they reached out to me.
Okay.
And I said, no, those are too small.
I understand, Berger. Okay, say with us, Pat, do you understand what Berger is saying? Just during the lockdown, and you kind of think and you talk about the road not taken.
Absolutely. And I would introduce my husband to Francois if he had rang me. I would have said who he was.
Oh, would you? Okay.
I would have introduced him. Oh, yeah, my husband's very open-minded. None of that nonsense.
Right, well, there's nothing wrong. Yeah, there's nothing.
No, but because, you see, when the path of life, that's made you the person who you are today.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point.
Just to say to Berger there, if he doesn't speak very good English, tell him actions speak louder than words, so he would have been fine.
Actions, yeah.
But that's how.
Okay. Well, let's listen to that poem. Let's have a bit of poetry as well as music on Live Line today. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost.
Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
That's a beautiful poem. That's not Robert Frost reading. And my memory of Robert Frost is a much older voice. And that was, if my memory serves me correctly, I think that was read by Robert Frost at the inauguration of JFK in January 1960. That could be. Anyway, I love that line, Berger. I don't know how your English
yes,
is.
I heard that on YouTube a couple of days ago.
Oh, did you? Okay. There you are now. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference. 51551, watch out.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And the lost and found section continues. Berger is still with us. Berger Nygaard, Sweden, 1979, Dublin, Sardis, disco in the South County Hotel, met a young woman, we presume from Dublin. They fell madly, totally, absolutely, completely in love. The song that was playing when they met was "If I Said I Had a Bit of a Body, Would You Hold It Against Me?" He had to go back to Sweden, and then they corresponded, but drifted apart. And Berger, I presume it's what Pat was saying it there earlier in the lockdown. She was wondering what happened to her first beau or first love or whatever. That's where the human mind goes. Now, lost and found, Maria O'Regan. What have you found?
Well, I found three lovely photo albums that someone had put together.
Okay.
And unfortunately left behind them in a property that I owned at the time and still own. I'm just wondering who it was, and, you know, they may have forgotten that they left them because they were found in the storeroom where people maybe put suitcases or extra belongings that they have while they're staying with me.
And what's in the albums that make you think they might be significant to people?
So it's life events. So First Holy Communions, weddings, all sorts of celebrations. And then there's one little one of someone sent a picture of a photo of them in a fashion show. And it looks like holidays in Killarney and things like that. So someone took the pictures, put them together in an album, and I'd say they were taken in the 70s.
Okay. Black and white or in colour?
Maybe. All colour.
All colour, okay. But communions?
All sorts of, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So communion photographs, even in the 70s, were important, and there wasn't many of them. You got one taken maybe in the school, but wasn't as common as it is today, where there's thousands of every communion.
And they were like family groups together, and it was somebody's personal photographs rather than professional photographs.
Okay. I'm told we've tweeted it on at RTE Liveline, and I'll retweet as soon as I can as well. The photographs, we pixelated the faces, obviously, and then the hope that someone might edit. So you have them in safekeeping.
I sent them to you.
Wait, we have them. Sorry. If Rebecca has them, they're definitely in safekeeping.
Yeah.
Okay, they're in safekeeping. Okay.
I kept them safely all the time. I had them, and I just said I couldn't throw them away. I just said somebody took the trouble to put this together, so hopefully we'll find who owns.
Okay, so I just say to people, anyone listening, if you have any old suitcases, blankets, eiderdowns, candlewick bedspreads you want to get rid of, send them to Rebecca Meehan, RT Radio Dublin 4 for safekeeping.
Yeah.
Okay, Maria, we will look at, no, I don't, we don't want anything else. We will do our best now to try and find the owners and reunite those lovely photographs with their owners. Okay, Maria O'Regan, thanks indeed. 51551 Ligdus Lava.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Berger, I'm sorry, we've had no luck so far
on,
on finding lots of clues and people saying they might know, but nothing that we could bring to fruition at this stage. So apologies. And Berger, in your, did you stay working for Ericsson over the years?
Yes, I worked for them for 10 years. Yeah. And then I became a consultant within IT then. And I was that for 16 years. And of those 16 years, I was on Ericsson 4 years. So I actually was on Ericsson for 14 years.
Ah.
And then I was to an insurance company for the last 12 years. And then I retired when I was 62.
Okay.
And that has been, I have been retired now for almost 4 years, and that's that's very nice, I would say.
And Berger, we now live in a world where no matter where people phone Liveline from in the world, I can ask them all the same question. How has Sweden, your country, how has your country managed during the coronavirus?
Well, I'm not very happy with Sweden's management of coronavirus. And I'm on Twitter, and I have been quite negative to our strategy that has very many deaths in comparison with Finland, Norway and Denmark. And I normally we compare with those other Scandinavian countries, but here we have, I think, 3 or 4 times more than the rest of the Scandinavian countries together. And I'm not happy with that. I don't. Okay. I don't think that they have done, have had the right strategy.
Okay. Okay. And that's. I know they say Sweden has become the world's cautionary tale for the way. Not to handle it, but anyway, it's affects every country in the world. As I say, we live in a world now where no matter where anyone rings from, you can ask them the same question. That is about the coronavirus. We are a country of poets, you know that, Berger.
Yes, I know. Okay.
Well, somebody has written a poem during the program about your dilemma, Bob Carley, Uncle Bob from Funny Friday. Bob, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good.
How are you, Berger? What a love story.
What a love story, yeah. So how did you write a poem? You're brilliant at it. Anyway, how did you... Okay, to read the poem, Joe.
I was just thinking, the road less travelled is when you read it. I just thought, actually, that's a love poem. So here it is. This is for Berger and Teresa.
Okay.
Thank you.
Two girls diverged in the club, and I was there from Sweden, Bryce, and I in love, but not that day. I needed to be loved that night. Then Teresa came, her smile beguiled. Her Irish eyes left me quite dazed. My Swedish luck swept her away. We danced so close, our passions blazed. I held her close, too close, I think, because soon I knew that we would part. But Teresa pushed me o'er the brink and took a place within my heart. And years from then, my heart still dreams. It misses my young Colleen so. I took the love less traveled then, and now I have to talk to Joe.
Nice. I'm impressed. Thank you very much.
There you go, Berger. I hope you find her.
I hope so too.
Ah, that's an incredible story. Well done, Bob. That's super. That's super. That's how are you keeping, Bob? Haven't seen you in funny Friday, unfortunately. Fell to the virus as well.
We're having not so funny Fridays. Not just and there's loads of stuff for funny Fridays. There's lots of material, so it's missing all the.
And how are you doing with all your mental health work? Suicide or survive?
Doing really, really good, because obviously it's a tough time for a lot of people, and there's a lot of people struggling with their wellness. So with Suicide or Survive, we're running every day. We run an online webinar, which is free.
Okay, how do people lock into that?
So you can go on to Suicide or Survive. Follow the links for webinars. And it covers things like anxiety and finding a new way through, kind of trying to help with emotions. So there's a wide range of stuff, and it's HSE are funding it, so it's free to the end user, which is brilliant. So people are always saying, where can we go for help? So look, we'd be more than happy for people to go on to suicideisholy.ie, check out the link, and we'd love to see them at the webinars.
And in 12, you're good at this, Bob, in 12 words or less, give us the lesson of the pandemic.
The lesson from it is to love more, laugh more, live more, and believe more.
Okay.
So any words left?
Okay, well done. That's Bob Carley. Berger, we will keep in touch. And thank you so much for contacting us. It's a lovely story, and I think you spoke beautifully. I know it's a long, long time ago, 31 years. You spoke beautifully, and I hope it'll spark other people as well in remembrances. So Birger Nygaard in Stockholm in Sweden, thank you so much. Rebecca Meehan produced, Jamie Doyle was on sound, Elaine Conlon was at BCO, Richie Byrne was on sound, and Ray Darcy next.